You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time to catch up with Paralympics GB visually impaired skier Fred Warburton and his guide, James Hannon, now here on RNIB Connect Radio, who came seventh in their first Paralympics event in the men's downhill at the Milano Cortina 2026 Winter Paralympic Games. So, Fred and James, how was it at the start of your very first ever Winter Paralympics event in the men's downhill? As James, I did hear you shout, "Come on, Fred," a couple of times at the start.
I think a few things were said at the start. I think emotions were definitely running high, but I think as soon as it was kind of time to go, we very much like started focusing and kind of forgot about everything and just started skiing. And I mean, it was definitely one of the smoother runs we've had together.
Yeah, for sure. So the beauty of skiing on a sort of mountain that steep, Toby, is that once you push out the start gate, there's no going back at all. So you're rumbling, and that hill is 63% gradient. So it's 68% gradient. Jimbo's corrected me. So it's an extremely, extremely steep piece, and I think the overall sort of overriding thought there is stay on your feet and yeah, tuck in and go as fast as you can, really, for us. So it was a really exciting moment for us. It's our very first ever downhill race. Downhill, for the audience, is the highest speed of all ski racing disciplines. It is basically following the terrain of the mountain, and its fastest person wins from top to bottom. So it was full of adrenaline, full of excitement, and we were really happy to get down in one piece.
Fantastic. You were last to compete in the downhill, and are you sort of focusing on your own sort of run and to go down as fast as you can, or are you thinking about the other skiers who have gone before you? As Neil Simpson and his guide Andrew had a really good run coming in fourth place, you know, a couple of runs before you.
I think it's different for both of us. So as guide, I'm looking at what the skiers before us have done and thinking of how I can adjust the line I take Fred on to kind of account for their mistakes and such. But today there was people taking a line that was too straight off one of the rollers, so I decided to adjust how we did that. Mm-hmm. I think Fred, sometimes it's best not looking at other people skiing and just focusing on what he has to do.
Yeah, I think James obviously can utilize, he is a broad skiing knowledge. He can utilize that sort of intel and information to pick our best line. My job in the moment is to follow Jimbo as closely as possible, to take the exact line that he's taking, and for me to trust him that he has picked the right line. And today he did that. I think one thing to sort of understand, which might be a little bit difficult for the audience, is that we're split up into different classifications, which is based on the degree of visual impairment and the impact that has on the sport itself. So we are giving quite a lot of time to our competitors, around 8 to 9 seconds to the person who ultimately came first today. So already we're starting with a sort of large deficit in terms of time, which means we have to push quite a lot. We have to push quite a lot more than others in order to sort of just be on a level playing field, really, in terms of speed. So that's also playing and a factor in our decision making before the race.
And James, I did notice that there were a couple of moments when it looked like you were quite far in front of Fred. Is there a sort of optimum distance that works best for you? And how hard is it to keep that distance when you are going downhill at speeds of 100 kilometres an hour?
So yes, I say there is an optimal distance, but it changes from person to person. Fred and I, due to Fred's vision, because he's got tunnel vision, he can see quite well far in front of him, or he can see a wider field, I guess, in front of him. So it's easier for him to spot me if we're slightly further apart than the way that other skiers, the distance they keep.
Yeah, so my visual acuity, Toby, and the audience is not as bad as some others in the race. So my sort of situation with many others who have retinitis pigmentosa is that I've lost a large proportion of my peripheral vision. But yeah, so having Jimbo that little bit further apart from me allows me to see a little bit more of the terrain around him and the gates around him. I know that seems kind of counterintuitive to others that may have visual acuity issues, but yeah, that's our situation. And the beauty of para-alpine skiing is that everybody's situation is kind of different. whether that be sort of with a medical condition or just a useful vision that they have remaining, if any useful vision. Of course, there are AS1 athletes that go down with the blackout goggles, and really they're the only athletes in para-alpine skiing that have a true level playing field in terms of the vision that they have, because they're obviously utilizing the blackout goggles.
And of course, you're not just going straight down the mountain as fast as you possibly can. You've got gates to go through and a few jumps along the way. So, I suppose, Fred, you are, I suppose, concentrating a lot on what James is telling you, but as you say, using that vision that you've got as well.
Yeah, so absolutely. Like, I need to use the nature of the classification system is that, you know, it's done by degree of visual impairment and ability, sort of, and the impact on the sport. So I use my useful vision mainly to look at James's feet and skis and understand how they pass over the terrain. If we do get too far apart, that does cause issues. And today we had to sort of bring it back in a little bit. As you said, Toby, we were quite far apart at times. And that's something we're definitely going to kind of slightly correct a little bit on Monday in the Super G. But yeah, I'm using the useful vision I have alongside lots and lots of verbal cues and commands. So James probably in that 1 minute and 30 downhill run from today's gave over 100 different commands in that very short period of time. He's constantly talking through the intercom system to me, whether that be motivation of come on Fred, catch me, or whether that's more technical information like sort of strong on the outside foot, knuckles when we go over these jumps so that I'm in a forward position. The sort of verbal cues that I get are far, far more important to me than the useful vision cues that I use, if I'm honest.
And James, like many of the other guides, I think you were sort of turning around and looking a little bit at Fred to see what he was up to. So you're not just concentrating on where you're going and giving that communication to Fred, but you're also looking to see where he is as well.
Yes, in theory, the idea is that I don't have to think about my own skiing. I'm just fully focusing on Fred. And sometimes in the race scenario, it's easier rather than distracting Fred by asking how far apart a distance is. If I can just do a quick check over my shoulders, it speeds things up sometimes. It means he can just focus on what he's doing and I can keep speaking without interrupting my commands to ask for a verbal response on what our distance is. Sometimes it's easier to do it in other places. I mean, today when we've stretched it a little bit, we were on quite a flat section of the slope. So I didn't want to slow down too much. And I knew Fred would eventually catch up with me. Mm-hmm. And that's an easy place for me to turn around and look. Whereas the first five or six gates, it's pretty much impossible for me to turn around because the speeds are too high and the forces are too strong for the body. So you have to be sort of all square and looking the same direction.
What was it like when you got to the end and all the crowds around you making lots of noise? Did you have family and friends watching you there as well?
Yes.
No, that was, I must admit, I didn't think it was going to be that busy today, so it was quite a big surprise actually getting to the bottom.
Yeah, it's a sold out, almost sold out arena, I think, and the standing area as well is huge. So there was an amazing turnout, amazing support. We're fortunate enough to be training based in Italy. So we had our Italian coaching team here, physios, athletic trainers in the crowd supporting us, and also friends and family from the UK had flown over. I think we're going to be up to around 65 people on Monday. So we have a massive, massive fan club. They've all got yellow hats on. And I mean, I didn't spot them immediately, if I'm brutally honest, in the crowd afterwards, but they were shouting enough for me to find them. So it was great to have that support in the crowd. And yeah, we're really grateful for all the support, not just in the crowd, but, you know, online at home, for the listeners of RNIB Radio as well. So yeah, thank you so much for showing interest. And yeah, it's a privilege to throw ourselves down the mountain for such gracious fans, if I'm honest.
And seventh place is probably a good start in your first ever Winter Paralympic Games then.
Especially as that was our third ever run of downhill ever as a pair. So I think it was a, yeah.
We had two training runs. We had two training runs earlier in the week on this hill. They were the first and second ever. and this one is the first ever official race. So. So honestly, on such, this is one of the most difficult pistes in the world. I think it would be very fair to say it was the same piste that sort of hosted the women's Olympic race, where famously Lindsey Vonn had a big crash and many others as well. So this, the best in the world have been caught out on that hill. And obviously we're going down with a larger degree of impairment than those folks. So really very happy to get to the bottom, very happy to do some good skiing. There's a lot to clean up for Monday's Super G. And I think we take a lot of motivation into Monday because we know there's more in the tank. We hope to put our best skiing on display then and use what we've learned today on Monday to really push us forward, and hopefully we can climb up that leaderboard a little bit higher and see what happens.
Well, we'll be following your progress here on RNIB Connect Radio for the Super G and the other events in the Winter Paralympic Games. And thank you so much indeed, Fred and James, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio. And good luck to you and the rest of the Paralympic GB visually impaired skiers and their guides for the remainder of the Games.
Thank you so much, baby.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.